Turn in your Bibles with me. The first verse is in Hebrews chapter 12. And then we'll go back to Isaiah 9:6. What does the Bible say? It's what's on our sign out front. What does the Bible say? People come to hear that. And this is what it says about Jesus in Hebrews 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Keeping our eyes on Jesus. Isaiah 9:6 reminds us of that. In this new year, I wanted to bring a message from these names and titles that are describing the Messiah that Isaiah said would come, the Christ who is Jesus. And we are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what the Bible says about him helps us in our daily life if we keep our focus on following him in the race of the Christian life. It is a marathon race. It's not a sprint. You can get a lot of people interested in something for a very brief period of time. But the Christian life is a way of life 24/7 until the day God calls you home. And we need something from the Word for all the hurdles and troubles that we face in daily life. Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Making the reference that the Messiah would be the one to rule the kingdom and Israel would be upon his shoulders and he would bear them up, that he is the provider of life and Christ is our Savior by faith in him. And so we need to keep our eyes on the Lord when we face the struggles and problems of daily life. The son that would be given is called Wonderful. He is the son of God, born of a virgin, Mary. And he would provide redemption for mankind. He would save his people from their sins. His name is Jesus, same as the Old Testament name Joshua. Yeshua, Jesus Christ is pronounced Yeshua HaMashiach. He is Jesus the Messiah or Jesus the Christ. Christ and Messiah define as the same thing, the anointed one of God. And he is wonderful. He's holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. In every way, he was absolutely perfect in human form, that he might be able to go to the cross and die as the representative man to pay for your sins and for mine. I remember when God used that by the Holy Spirit to break my heart to recognize it was my sin that put Christ on the cross. And he died for me as much as he died for the whole world. And I came to believe in him and put my faith and trust in him. And I hope everyone here has done the same, or we're glad to help you to do the same so that you might live for him and serve him with your life, for he is wonderful. He's also the counselor. He has given us his Holy Spirit to guide us and equip us for all that we're going to face and for everything that he wants us to do. He will equip us to do it. Our natural human tendency is to think about the talents and abilities we have, that we could use them for God. That's great. But God's not dependent on our human talents. God raises up from the dust of the ground those he can use and use in a great and mighty way. And he gets the glory because it's evident that it wasn't man that did this. It was God. If you want to turn with me, I'm going to look at Proverbs chapter 2, read several verses from there. Proverbs 2, and I'll begin with verse number 1, and we will see how he is our counselor and what he's done for us. We call it discernment, the ability to rightly judge right from wrong. Discernment that God gives his people along with wisdom in making decisions as our counselor. In Proverbs 2, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasures. You don't find silver just laying out on the ground everywhere. You got to search for it. You got to dig for it. You got to put forth an effort to find it. And if we study the Word of God and dig into it, we'll find great treasures and great wonders that will give us wisdom and help us to have understanding. He said in verse 5, thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. From the Word of God we get all these things. Verse 7, he layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He's the strength and protector. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. He goes on to say that there's a big difference between those he will bring judgment upon and those whom he gives this discretion and wisdom and protection. Jesus is our counselor and he is wonderful. Today we look at the third title. He is the mighty God. The mighty God. Mighty God does mighty things. We follow the life of Jesus, we see all these miracles that were performed, all the mighty deeds that he did. But when we study his life, we find from John chapter 1 that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So he is the Creator. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit were all active in the creation. When you go out at night and you look up in the heavens on a clear night and you see the moon and the stars and you begin to focus on the Big Dipper and Pleiades and Orion, and you see particular stars that are brighter or colored like Mars, got that red tint to it, and you see those things and you think, my God made all these things. The psalmist said, the heavens declare the mighty hand of God, the wonders of what he has done, and we praise him because of it. As the mighty God, he does mighty things. Mary learned that when she was expecting to give birth to the Savior. She recognized that the Holy Spirit had come upon her, implanted the seed within her, and she would give birth to the Son of God. In Luke 1:46 through 50, she says this in verse 49, for he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. Mighty, the mighty God. I asked Jacob if he had any songs in the songbook about the mighty God to sing those today. I didn't know he was going to give you two brand new songs that you didn't know. That's my fault, not his fault. He's trying to help me out in getting a thinking about those things when we sing and in the message as well. We all recognize we need the power of God when we face things. You can't be a parent that you need to be without God's help. You can't be a husband, a wife. You can't be the person that you need God to help you to do all the things that you face and decisions that you make. You need help that is beyond you. And God says, come to me and I will give you wisdom. Come to me and I'll give you judgment, discernment, that you'll choose right from wrong and not have the difficulties of life. For spiritual life and power to overcome the sins of the flesh, we've recognized right away we need the help of God, because we can't do that in our own self. If you just skip reading the Bible for a while, you'll begin to recognize how weak you are spiritually and how you're succumbing to the flesh in a stronger way. Your temper is shorter. Your problem of lust will raise its head. And we need the Lord, and His Word will instruct us and help us and give us wisdom, and we can have the mighty God help us with what we face. We are people who need the Lord. The Father, the Lord Jesus, and the Holy Spirit were together in creation and said, "Let us make man in our image and in our likeness." And He made man. He is revealed as the mighty God. Mighty works are done by Him. Mighty power is recorded to the Lord Jesus. I'm going to look at a few verses in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1 through 3. This is what the Bible says about Jesus in Hebrews 1 and verse 1 through 3. God, who at sundry times in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being in the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Jesus paid the price for our sins and then sat down by the Father. In the book of Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15 and 16, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things. Don't miss this last part of it, verse 17. And by Him all things consist. The Bible says Christ is upholding all things by the word of His power. Otherwise, this creation that is out there, if it was there by accident, it'd be like a pool table where a big fella tried to strike the pool balls and just scattered them all over the place. How is it that these galaxies out there are not running into one another and crashing and blowing up and running into the earth and all those sort of things? Why is the earth protected from the dents and dings that you could see in Mars and other planets? Because God is upholding all things by the word of His power, our Lord Jesus Christ in particular. In Mark chapter 4, He calmed the storm for His beloved disciples. They were afraid, and He spoke, and the storm obeyed Him and ceased. You ever been in a storm and needed the Lord's help? I think often when Joy and I live in a double-wide mobile home. I tease people and say, I know it'll survive 75-mile-an-hour winds because it came down the interstate in two pieces, you know, 70 miles an hour. Didn't tear apart. And then they put it together on a brick foundation and cement foundation. And sometimes when that wind gets to blowing, and we have a lot of trees on our property, and to hear a tree, Joy heard one the other night in a bad wind, one popped. And she wondered where it was, and we went out in the golf cart the other day to drive it down the road and then charge the battery up so it'll learn to keep a full charge on a new golf cart. We came back and I said, look at that tree hanging from that other tree right there. And what had happened is the top had broken out of that tree and it had hung itself right beside it. It looked like two trees standing side by side. One of them didn't have any bottom in it. It wasn't connected to the ground. We went by another place right near us where my sister's property is, and there was a big old giant tree. I couldn't reach around it. It was leaning over on the top of another tree. Pretty soon it's going to fall over on their fence if the wind gets to it. You start hearing those trees popping and falling like we did during Hurricane Hugo, and you pray and say, Lord, please protect us. I prayed all night during Hurricane Hugo. I knew immediately how severe it was from the warnings we were getting, where it was going to hit, and the path it was going to come. And I stayed up all night praying. And I prayed for safety and protection for all of you that were a part of our church in that time. And you know, we didn't have one family that had a giant tree fall on their house. I don't think even on a car. We had one family member, who a big tree fell on their storage building. And a lot of us had trees fall that we had to get the chainsaws out to get out the driveway and things like that. My dad was in the hospital, and when I finally got to the hospital, when they cleared the roads, I went in to visit with him. He said, I believe we had a little storm last night. I said, yeah, Dad, we had the one that's the biggest I've ever seen in my life. And God protected us. In our house, we had trees laying in all four directions, north, south, east, and west. Not a one of them hit the house. Not a one of them hit our cars. Not a one of them hit our outbuildings. Only God does stuff like that. And he doesn't do that for the wicked. He does that for his own. He protects us and blesses us and provides for us. And we need to stay in touch with him. And we need to follow him. And we need to keep our eyes on Jesus, who laid the course out for the Christian life, the author and finisher of our race. And let us endure in the Christian life and run with patience. John 11:17, he'd been buried in the tomb for 4 days. His name was Lazarus. He was a friend, but when the Lord heard about how sick he was, he did not go immediately. And Lazarus died, and finally told his disciples, Lazarus is dead. And by the time they got there, he'd been in the tomb, the Bible says, for 4 days. Dead, wrapped, spices put in, put in the tomb, sealed the tomb. 4 days when Jesus got there. And Jesus said to his sisters, believe. And they rolled the stone away. And Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. I've heard preachers say if he hadn't said Lazarus, every person that was dead would have come forth. But he said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth from the grave wrapped in grave clothes. He said, loose him and set him free. The people came to see this man, Lazarus, because of what Jesus had done. And Jesus himself was going to die and be buried and raised from the dead. He said, I have power to lay down my life and I have power to take it up again. That's the mighty God that we serve. That's the mighty God that we believe in. This mighty God lives today, seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding on our behalf. Why? Because we sin so often and do so many things wrong and don't do everything we should do, that Jesus has a full-time job interceding for us. But he's alive and he does that. Paul wrote in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And Paul did some amazing things in his ministry, and we read about them in the New Testament. He could endure all that he went through because the Lord strengthened him. And he kept going until the time that he was ready to be poured out as a drink offering unto God. Colossians, he wrote to them and prayed a great prayer for believers to be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. Not our strength, not our talent, not our abilities, but the power of God working through us to accomplish what God would have us to do. You remember Abraham, 75 years old, God said, I'm going to give you a son, you and your wife. He waited 100 years old, 25 years went by. Abraham's still waiting for God to fulfill his promise. God does not work on your time schedule. And I've learned he certainly doesn't work on mine. I remember reading about a famous preacher who was writing books, and one day his wife came in the room and he was pacing back and forth, and she said, "What's wrong with you?" And he said, "I'm in a hurry and God's not." We face that often. God's timing is not our timing. Abraham and Sarah were given a son. Abraham was 100 years old when his son was born. Sarah was 90. God miraculously intervened in their bodies to be able to have a child at that age. Not only have him, but to raise him. Isaac, the beloved son, the promised one. God gave his mighty power to those who honored God by faith. Moses stood at the bank of the Red Sea and raised his staff, and the waters parted and the winds blew and the ground was dry, and Israel passed through the Red Sea, and the Egyptians tried to follow them, and God closed the waters on top of them and drowned the horse and the rider. God parted the waters. Gideon was called on to fight against the Midianites. The Midianites had a great host, and they brought in other nations with them, and they knew that Gideon was doing something, planning something, and Gideon was a believer in the Lord, but Gideon was hiding behind the threshing equipment, threshing out wheat, trying to keep the IRS from taking it away from him with all the new agents that the president is supposed to put into work. So that's what you got to do. You got to hide behind the threshing instrument to get a little bit of extra wheat. You know, you don't take it away from you. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him right there. It scared him pretty good. He said, "Thou mighty man of valor." Gideon said, "Who's he talking to? Me?" He was hiding. He was afraid. He said, "Get yourself a little army together, and I'm going to send you forth to defeat the Midianites and deliver you from them." Gideon's thinking, boy, this is tough to believe. He went through several things of test for God. He put out a fleece that was wet and it was dry, and did everything God asked of him. He asked of God, God did, but he was still struggling with this thing. So he went around and he raised up all the army he could possibly get. Thousands of men, 22,000 of them. 32,000 of them. And then the angel of the Lord appeared to him again. He said, "You got too many." "What do you mean I got too many? I don't have enough. What do you mean I got too many?" God's going to get the glory from this victory, not your army. You have too many. Send some of them home. So he said, "Anybody that's fearful and afraid, go home." They never told us that in the Marine Corps in Vietnam. And never said, "All right, we're going on a 60-day mission in the jungle and we're going to engage the enemy probably numerous times. All of you that are afraid, just stay here." That didn't happen. But you see, God was going to get the victory in this war. So 22,000 went home. That left him with 10,000. Now we're going to go, I guess, with 10,000 men. At least I got a pretty good group here. And then God says, "You still got too many. Send them down to the water to drink." And the people went down to the drink. 300 of them laid down on their face and lapped water out of the brook like a dog would do. You know, face down, get the water, you know. Rest of them knelt down with their hand, picked up water and drank it. God said, "All those that knelt down and used their hand, send them home." 300 were left that lapped water like a dog. God said, "Now you're ready to go. You do what I tell you to do." The Midianites had gained the Amalekites and all the children of the east. They were like grasshoppers for multitude. They had camels without number. God calls one of those men to dream a dream of a big giant cake like a bread rolling down the hill, and it rolled through the tent and destroyed it. And the man said, "Who is this but Gideon that the Lord has raised up against us?" Gideon, the sword of the Lord. This was revealed to him, and he gained some confidence because of this. And Gideon worshiped the Lord. He told the people, he said, divide the 300 into three groups of 100. Each one of you with an empty pitcher with a lamp lit inside of it. And when I tell you, you all yell out the sword of the Lord and Gideon, and you break the pitcher and shine your light. And they did that, and all that army feared what was about to happen and ran against one another and killed one another in the night, fighting with their swords and battling anybody they came in touch with for fear. And then they ran to go home to their nations. Then God called on Israel to come out of their hiding places, not the 300, but the rest of the nations. And they slew 120,000 of the enemy. And they had peace for 40 years. Wouldn't you like to know our nation could have peace for 40 years? I'd love that. It wasn't Gideon, it wasn't Joshua, it wasn't Moses, it wasn't Abraham. It was God and His mighty power that accomplished these things. You still serve the same God. He's still just as mighty as He was then. He works differently about miracles and all those things. He's proven His book. He finished it and has given it to us as the church today, as Christians today, and now we're to live the Christian life dependent upon His mighty power to help us. You might be in some spiritual battle today, a physical battle, a crisis in your life. The mighty God can help you. You may be captive to something, as some of Israel had been at times. You let yourself become captive to something. God can break the yoke of bondage from you and deliver you. Fall down before Him and call upon Him and believe in Him and ask for His help. Love Him and seek His will to be done in your life. Praise Him. For as Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. The Spirit of the living God is alive in us. God help us not to grieve Him nor quench His working by sinful ways, but to purify ourselves before the Lord to gain His strength. To our wonderful Lord, who is our counselor, our guide and provider, our mighty God, able to save, cleanse, equip, protect, praise be unto Him who is worthy of all praise and adoration. God used Isaiah a lot about the Redeemer that was to come, the Messiah, the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 53 says, some of the Hebrew rabbis won't allow their people to read. I believe it's because it speaks too much about what Jesus did on Calvary's cross. And they do not want them to believe on Jesus as the Messiah. God revealed through Isaiah the Christ to come in chapter 49, verse 26, would be the Lord, thy Savior and Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. In 60:16, He reveals how mighty He is in protection and provision and also in the judgment upon the evil that is to come in the future. In chapter 63, in verse 1, He said, who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This is that glorious in His apparel, traveling in His greatness and His strength, I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. His garment will be stained with blood in Armageddon, is what that is in reference to. The Lord of Lords and King of Kings will come back to this earth and fight that great battle one day. And His garment will be stained with the blood of the evil and the wicked in the battle. But we, my friends, have been delivered from that day. God has saved us. He's preparing a place for us. He will call us to heaven to be with Him. And He'll protect us and provide for us. And one day in heaven, He'll wipe away all tears from our eyes. There'll be no more pain. There'll be no more sickness. There'll be no more death. There'll be no more dying. There'll be no more tears and no more crying. And we'll live with Him forever and forever. And the Lamb is the light of the glory that we shall share. Thanks be unto God for the mighty God who loved us and provided redemption for us. God loves you. You say, well, I'm a sinner. I don't deserve. I'm not worthy. Nobody's worthy. We are all sinners. It is by His grace that we are saved through faith. To put our trust and belief that it is Jesus who loved us and died for us, rose again from the dead and is alive forevermore and has the power to save you and keep you by His mighty power. Father, help us now as we give a verse of an invitation and pray You'll deal with hearts. We are so thankful for the Word of God and helping to have understanding of these great truths that are so valid yet today. 2,700 years ago, as Isaiah wrote these things, now today we see them just as real as they were in that day. Help us, Lord, to keep our eyes on Jesus as we run the race. Help us to lay aside the weights and the sins that beset us in our race. Help us to keep our eyes on Jesus in 2023. We pray for Your help in Jesus' name. Amen.